Ocular melanoma, an eye cancer, is rare. It typically affects 6 out of every 1 million people. But doctors have found dozens of patients with ties to either Huntersville, North Carolina, or Auburn, Alabama, or both, many of whom attended Auburn University between 1983 and 2001. At least three of them were friends. One of them, Julie Green, 27 when she was diagnosed, told CBS News that she went to her doctor after she began seeing flashes of light.
He said, there is a mass there. There's something there. I don't know what it is. It looks like it could be, you know, a tumor. I mean, it's like you had just had the breath knocked out of you.
More money is needed for further research, but initial crowdsourced information shows many of those affected are also women. Some were in neighboring sororities at Auburn. Patients have put together a Facebook page. The numbers are growing as people across the country realize they were also in the areas during those years and now have ocular melanoma. It's a medical mystery, and Marlena Arloff is one of the doctors trying to solve it. She's an oncologist at the Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Jefferson Health in Philadelphia. Dr. Arloff, do we have any idea why these cases are connected to these two areas?
No, we don't. And certainly that's, you know, obviously why there's some ongoing investigations. You know, we see this cancer every day. So even though the cancer is quite rare, it's not necessarily rare to us. However, whenever I meet a patient, I always ask them if they know anyone with the cancer. And very commonly, the answer is no. I don't know anyone with this cancer. I didn't know you could get melanoma in your eye. So obviously, you know, to our surprise, we're really dealing with these two situations now where there's a number of people in the same community who have this rare cancer who know each other.
Are you calling it a cluster?
So we're not calling it a cluster, and that's really because the term cluster is really a term from epidemiology. And in order to really classify something as a cluster, you need to have what's called an observed incidence higher than the expected incidence. So really for any disease, you would look to an area and look and see what the expected incidence would be. And then if your observed incidence is higher than that, then you could potentially call it a quote-unquote cluster. But for a number of reasons, we've not been able to prove that in these two situations. Part of the reason is because not all of the patients were living in the state at the time of diagnosis. Some have to do with the fact that they were diagnosed out of state and the cases might have not made it back, or in a lag time in reporting. So unfortunately, we have not been able to really statistically prove that these are quote-unquote clusters. However, we do think that the accumulations are of interest.
Well, concerning. And the numbers keep climbing, so yes, that term cluster might yet come. But we know, for instance, as we said, three of the patients were in the same or neighboring sororities at Auburn University, and were all education majors. Are you thinking about perhaps environmental factors?
Of course. I mean, I think any time that you see a rare cancer or rare disease happening in a very tight geographic area, and we toured Auburn University and we saw where these girls lived, and even if they weren't specifically in the same exact dorm, you know, they were right adjacent to each other and on the college campus. So whenever you see that, you do question, is there some sort of environmental factor here? So certainly exploring that is on the top of our list.
Any sense that this might be tied to tanning or sunbathing?
We don't think so. And I would say that for a number of reasons. Number one, I think people want to think that because it's melanoma. And we know that tanning bed use and UV exposure can certainly increase risk of skin melanoma. And certainly when you talk about women, you talk about some kind of behaviors like tanning bed use. However, if it were something as simple as the sun or as simple as tanning bed use, we wouldn't necessarily, I think, be seeing it in these such restricted geographic
right
locations. And I think it would be way more common than what we're seeing. And there's also a decent body of literature suggesting that UV exposure isn't really the story, or at least the whole story. So we do not really think that that is what we're looking for. You know, there may be another culprit, and it may be UV plus something, but I think just tanning bed use or UV light alone or history of sunburns or anything like that is not really the cause at this time.
Well, remind us, we think of melanoma, obviously, as skin cancer. What is ocular melanoma, and what are the symptoms?
Yeah, so ocular melanoma, eye melanoma as it's called, and really in this case, we should be really calling it uveal melanoma, which is a melanoma that can involve three parts of the eye called the choroid, the ciliary body, and the iris, is very rare and much different from skin melanoma. Skin melanoma, anywhere from 80,000 to 100,000 cases diagnosed annually. Uveal melanoma, we're talking about 2,000 to 2,500 cases. And they are very different diseases. You know, what I often tell patients is, other than the fact that they look the same under the microscope, they actually behave very, very differently. Patients with uveal melanoma, oftentimes their presentation is with visual disturbance or retinal detachment symptoms, such as flashes, floaters, and blurry vision. Other patients have no symptoms at all, and the tumor may be picked up on routine eye exam.
Which is why it's a good idea to have a routine eye exam. But
always.
Yeah, but how do you treat it? We know one of the patients, at least, had to have her eye removed. So how do you treat it?
So, yeah, so patients will, like I said, present with those symptoms and be evaluated by an ocular oncologist. Most patients will get radiation therapy to the eye. However, patients with really large tumors or tumors that are really involving the optic nerve or are painful will get their eye removed, something called enucleation. Mm-hmm. But enucleation is actually far more rare these days, and most patients get away with radiation.
And it can travel to other parts of the body. We know one patient we're reading about has now had to deal with cancer in other parts of the body. Is ocular melanoma fatal?
So up to, even though the primary treatment of the eye is very effective, and most times the cancer does not come back in the eye, up to about half of patients can recur with a distant spread of the disease at a later date. The most common site that we see the cancer turn up, most often within the first kind of 3 to 5 years, is in the liver. And once the disease metastasizes to the liver, there is no cure. We have a number of treatments that can prolong life, including liver-directed therapy, some immunotherapies, certainly certain therapies in clinical trial. However, the disease is often life-threatening.
Okay, so this is scary. And we're imagining people in Huntersville, North Carolina, and Auburn, Alabama, are nervous about this. Do you know, have you seen, has there been an uptick in screenings?
So in North Carolina, which is really where the investigation started, in an effort to assist the public with kind of awareness of the disease and really just, you know, making sure that they were aware, that we were aware of what was going on, North Carolina actually offered free eye exams about a year ago. And there was an increased number of people being screened, but there was not an increased number of eye melanomas found.
Well, there's now a Facebook group to connect people. So if our listeners across the country are hearing this and have this same cancer, they may want to jump on there. We'll link them at herenow.org to share what these patients are learning. And how about you as one of the doctors on the team? Yes, a mystery I know you want to solve, a puzzle you want to put together. But how else is this hitting you?
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think one of the more unique things, again, about this is that this is really young women. You know, we talk about the median age of this disease being about 60, and certainly we do see that age population. But certainly in the Huntersville, North Carolina group, two of the young girls who were kind of first diagnosed, both went to the same high school, diagnosed in their 20s, you know, died in their 30s, mm-hmm. Died at a young age. And so it is tough. It's tough to see, you know, all these people who are connected in some way, you know, dealing with this very, very difficult disease. However, I think part of me feels that even if we don't find anything that really truly connects all of the cases, at the very least, we're bringing awareness to this disease and hopefully some additional funding for research regarding not just the investigations, but ongoing research in trying to treat the more advanced cases, which this really orphan disease desperately needs.
That's Dr. Marlena Orloff, an oncologist at the Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Jefferson Health in Philadelphia. Dr. Orloff, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And we will follow this story again. What a mystery.